Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies. You can study a variety of topics such as creative writing, human rights, and the arts. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What happens to sleeping habits once children become teenagers? And what are the consequences for those who don't get enough? Many parents of adolescents are familiar with the pattern. Kids who once went to sleep at a decent hour and bounded cheerfully out of bed in the morning transform into night owls who struggle to get up in time for school and fight or give in to the urge to doze off throughout the day. Joining us to talk about teenage brains, bodies, and sleep is Dr. T. Masden. She's a pediatric behavioral sleep medicine specialist and author of the blog Hardwired for Life. She'll be speaking at tomorrow's Adolescent Symposium at the Garland Special Event Center, sponsored by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. T, welcome to Think.
Well, hi. Hi.
Why do we need to sleep in the first place at any age?
Well, to me, I would take that question, Chris, to be what is the work of sleep, or what does it do? So there's really seven huge parts of sleep. The number one is the amount of growth hormones dramatically increases when we sleep. So that's to repair and rebuild cells, and it's also to help with healing. So your immune system is greatly boosted when you sleep. Another is, of course, the different kinds of steroids, like your prolactin, testosterone, your luteinizing hormones. Those are all to build muscle, okay? Another is your catabolic or your corticosteroids, which do a whole lot of different things. They help with stress immune response. They help with inflammation, any in the body, carbohydrate metabolism, protein catabolism. They regulate your electrolytes and even your emotions. Okay, so lymphocyte, white cell mitosis building, growth, bone growth is hugely increased during sleep. The synthesis of CNS proteins, so your brain being developed really nicely, okay? And then short-term memories are transferred from short-term to long-term. So that's a lot of work going on while we're asleep.
I don't want to miss any of that stuff, and I don't want my kids to miss out on it. I mean, new parents spend so much time thinking about how their children sleep, when they sleep, how much they sleep. Mm-hmm. And then we tend to sort of forget about that once we're not tucking them into bed anymore.
You know, the biggest challenge, Chris, is that teens are their own little monster. They have a whole dilemma that just suited for those 8 or 9 years. Children and adults don't share it. So part of that, to help you to understand, is sleep. There are no chemicals in our brain that bring us into sleep. We have 18 or so chemicals every day that make us awake. And those are released, you have one set released about an hour after you wake up. So when did you get up today?
About 7.
Okay, so about 8 o'clock, you got this whole rush of 18 or more chemicals.
I thought that was my coffee kicking in.
And it might have been that too. But all of that comes in and gets you wide awake. And then your body synchronizes 12 hours later. That's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And it's a real straightforward kind of a drop, and then it recedes really fast. That's for children and adults. But for teens, biologically, they have a dilemma. Because they have the gonadal hormones and they've got this huge amount of growth hormones, you know, think secondary sex characteristics. They've got all these hormones. Melatonin's a hormone. And so it kind of messes them up. And so instead of having the two distinct, they have the morning release of their awakening. And then at night, it looks something like this. It's a dropping off where they get a release, but it kind of stays with them for a number of hours.
So they used to go to bed at 9:30, and now it's 10, 11 o'clock at night before.
Right. They've got this whole, instead of having a second wind that's just one nice little hour, mm-hmm. or an hour and a half, their second wind might cover 4 hours.
So if they can't fall asleep because of the way their bodies are changing until right. later, it stands to reason that they can't get up as easily as they used to. But it turns out they don't need just the 6 or 7 hours that a lot of them get. How much sleep does a teenager need?
So actually, because of all the growth, bone, tissue, everything that's going on in their bodies, they're actually needing about 9 to 9.2 hours.
How many of your patients actually get that before you start dealing with
them? So actually, looking at the National Sleep Foundation, wonderful poll that was done in 2009, wonderful sample. And what they found was less than half, 45% of teens were getting less than 8 hours of sleep a night. Mm. The it was from 6th grade to 12th. The 6th graders were averaging 8.4. 12th graders were 6.9.
Mm.
So it's this decline over the years. Well, the problem is, and this is something I think hardly very, very few people know, what causes us to sleep? I mean, what's the mechanism? Well, it's being awake. And we call that, in our field, we call it sleep debt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for a teenager that's getting 6.9 and they ought to be getting 9.2, they're accumulating a sleep debt of 11.7 hours a week. Well, you know where one of the issues is in that? Think in 2 weeks, how many hours of sleeplessness?
It's a whole day.
Well, no, that's 22 hours, mm-hmm. right? Well, we've done studies comparing cognitive ability, judgment, perception of those that have gone 20 to 25 hours without sleep or missing that much sleep compared to those that are intoxicated. And actually, it equals 0.1% intoxication.
Which is really scary when you're talking about kids learning to drive and getting out there behind the wheel for the first time.
Oh, yes. And it's not just that. Being able to focus, being able to concentrate, being able to speak, being able to think clearly, make decisions, all of these things, the cognition is incredibly impaired, not to mention hormonal, impairment, not to mention the hypometabolic changes that would do with all of your emotional instability, having highs and lows. And so with all of that, you think, oh my gosh, you just don't want them to go without sleep.
So what percentage of this sort of teen turbulence that we all, not every kid goes through it, but a lot of kids are tough to deal with for a few years, what percentage of that might be related to sleep deprivation?
So looking at this is interesting that you would say that, because the teens were asked themselves, and so in the group of all these teens all across the country, more than half, 54%, said that they were very, very tired or sleepy during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And 43% of the 6th graders said that they knew they got less than an adequate amount of sleep. 72% of the 12th graders said that they got less than the adequate amount of sleep. 31% said that they felt they had a sleep disorder, but they had not told anybody about it. Now, compare that to the parents of the same study. 9 out of 10 parents felt like their teen got enough sleep.
Hmm. So are parents just not aware that their kids are still awake? Because so many times now, teenagers go to bed and they take with them a laptop mm-hmm. or a phone or something else that captures their attention for mm-hmm. a while after they're in bed.
Yeah, I don't know to address whether or not our parents, I think part of it is we're not aware, first of all, that teens really do have a physiologic challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to last them 8 or 9 years. And it's going to take kids that were larks in school age and turn them into owls, the majority. And then when they reach about 20, 21, they turn into larks again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this period of time that's really challenging. And for parents, I think part of it, the greatest thing I see in my practice is when folks have set up sleep to be a task. So it's like, little Johnny, go to sleep. So it's like something to do, except sleep is out of your parasympathetic system. So that's your relaxation. But when you turn it into work, it's a task, then it's your sympathetic. And now you're all anxiety. And of course, with anxiety, you're not going to go into sleep. So the thing that brings on sleep, it's a process, not a destination.
Hmm.
So it's really the preliminary aspects that are more important. The relaxation, laying in bed and just letting your muscles go limp, you know, closing your eyes, starting to breathe slower, your mind's wandering. All of that is what brings on that sleep debt. It just takes over.
My guest is Dr. T. Masden. She's a pediatric behavioral sleep medicine specialist at Enjoy Your Life Family Services and author of the blog Hardwired for Life. She'll be taking part in tomorrow's Adolescent Symposium at the Garland Special Events Center, sponsored by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. If you would like to be part of the conversation, give us a call. The number is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. This first break in the hour, of course, we want to take just a couple of minutes to talk to you about supporting the station online at kera.org or over the phone at 1-888-694-6931. And I am joined in this effort now by Roger Gamal. Hi, Roger.
Well, hello. And it's amazing when you find out how things work, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Public radio is kind of like that. It works because listeners contribute. So we're taking a couple of minutes right now to ask you to make a contribution and to make a call to KERA and make a contribution at 888-694-6931.
The conversations may be the lifeblood of why you listen to the station. Your dollars, though, are what make it possible. They're sort of the skeleton on which this entire thing is built. Your contributions make public radio vibrant in this community. It would not happen without you, because more than half of the funds we need just to come in every day and put these programs on the air comes just from people just like you and me at 1-888-694-6931 and over the phone at kera.org. Remember that you can check out thank you gifts online as well.
There's plenty of them there. There's the, as you said, the Nina Toten bag and the Susan Stamm bag. Those are two phenomenal looking little things, and some wonderful new things from Car Talk and This American Life as well. So make a stop on over to the website, kera.org, and contribute online. And you can even send a comment or two our way.
Absolutely. Let us know what you're thinking about as you make your contribution. Because you're, we really want your input. We love when you call into the programs, and we rely on your financial support to make these programs possible.
Efficiency. That's the name of the game around here at KERA. Take our news department, for example. Reporters file a lot of stories. The last of three green stories was filed this morning by Bill Zeeble. Each one of these stories takes a lot of time to research and to tell and to edit and to build and to get the job done. The new staff here at KER has to be efficient. The same thing goes for our membership drives. As we raise money in on-air fundraising, is an important part of how we fund our work. But to get the job done well, we need to get it done fast. And to help us in that area, the BNSF Foundation has stepped up to do a little matching grant for us. Here's the deal. You give $2, the BNSF Foundation will kick in another dollar.
Very nice.
Give us $100, BNSF will give us $50. Give us $200, BNSF will give us another $100. So ask for that BNSF Foundation doubling matching grant. Call right now at
888-694-6931.
Or
KERA.org. I know there's a lot of numbers bouncing around in your heads. And, of course, you also know the number to call into the show to ask questions. We know that some of you will be wanting to talk to Dr. T. Masden about teens and sleep. It's wonderful to have a program where people are able to contribute, where the entire community is part of making the show. You're also part of the show when you make your contributions at 1-888-694-6931 and online at KERA.org.
The Larks might be listening to during the day, the Night Owls and the rebroadcast.
We schedule it for both, exactly.
You can make your contribution online no matter what time it is, kera.org. Click and join. Select the amount you want to give. Take a thank you gift out of the wonderful array. But no matter what, give us a call right now, and your contribution will be added to by the BNSF Foundation.
It's a wonderful deal. You can make your money go 50% as far, which is really wonderful. You can do this by calling in to 1-888-694-6931 right now or going online to kera.org. We love the idea of raising this money in less time than we did in the past. It's possible entirely due to your quick response. So please take action now at kera.org online or over the phone at 1-888-694-6931. Back in just 2 minutes with Dr. T. Masden.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a multidisciplinary program that allows you the intellectual freedom to design your own master's degree. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Dr. T. Masden. She's a pediatric behavioral sleep medicine specialist who is author of the blog Hardwired for Life. She'll be taking part in tomorrow's Adolescent Symposium at the Garland Special Events Center, which is sponsored by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. If you want to join us, call in to 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. So just at this time when teenagers need all of this sleep, there are school activities, sports practices taking place late into the evening, and then school starts the next morning at 8 o'clock, which means they've got to be on a bus by 7 or 7:30. Talk about some of the things entirely separate from the body that get in the way of good sleep for teenagers.
Great question. Challenges. Challenges are not just physiologic, even though that's a huge dilemma for teenagers. But there's the social. Normal social development for a teenager is connecting with their peers. And so having that text in that phone in their bedroom at all hours and letting it go off, you know, that's a pull because that's an important part of their development to connect and build those relationships. That's part of their human development, as you would say. Then the fact that school times, and I know you said your ages of your children 10 to 13, but as you get into high school, the school starts earlier. Like, where's the sense in, except in states like Minnesota and Rhode Island, where they've actually, based on research, they've made changes to the school start times with the older kids. But for all the rest of us, seniors, high school students are having to get up earlier than the younger kids, lose less sleep. Plus, they have more stuff after school. They've got jobs. They've got extracurricular activities. And then above all else, there's electricity. Yeah. What Thomas Edison, in his wisdom, and yet probably, as time has probably kicked himself, has changed the whole dynamic of human life. Because we were made as mammals to be diurnal. So that means, you know, to be awake in the day and asleep at night. And so with electricity, with light, and then now, of course, with technology, computers, cell phone, video games, music devices, you know, TV. Shoot, if I missed any. I mean, so all of those things now have made it even harder for teens.
There might have been two new things invented while you were saying that list, but talk about this. I mean, at some point, you want to give teenagers some autonomy, and it's not the same as telling an 8-year-old, your bedtime is this. At the same time, if we know that they're being kept awake by their computer or their phone or a TV set, what are some reasonable ways to set limits?
Well, what they found in the studies was that those who didn't have or they had constraints on internet access, they had constraints with TVs in the room or cell phones in the rooms, that those children got closer to 8 to 8.2 hours of sleep a night on school nights. So the ones who didn't have constraints obviously were closer to the 6.9. The only issue, and this is something we didn't touch on, is that sleep debt doesn't disappear. It's kind of like the IRS. When you've accumulated sleep debt, your body won't let you forget it. You have to pay it.
And often with kids, that seems to happen on the weekends. Is that good enough?
Well, I think the whole idea of the teen years being such a whole different can of worms, you know, I think sometimes that's really, really what is our best option. It's really what we can actually work with. Because to try to, you know, you can't manipulate when school starts, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to change maybe some of those extracurricular activities. You could maybe step in on whether or not they have these devices in their room at night. But ultimately, yeah, catching up on the weekend so that they don't go week to week with this 11.7 accumulated sleep debt, and then it's 22, and then it's 33, and then it's 45, and oh my gosh. And of course, the way the body, Chris, the way the body has its own way. You know, if you take away sleep, you know, what the number one thing is your immune system.
Sure.
Well, what does the body do? Well, you get sick. Mm-hmm. And then what are you doing then?
You're
sleep
in bed.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the body's smart. You know, that's probably one of its, most effective measures of getting people back in bed, you know, especially teenagers.
What about things like sports? I mean, like, you know, if I were to go to the gym at 9 o'clock at night, I can tell you I would not sleep until 1 a.m. in the morning. I mean, is there anything that can be done in terms of their activities to sort of shift?
Well, I can tell you the research, awesome study done at Penn State. And what they did is they had three groups exercising. And they had them exercise at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then what they did is they measured with, you know, sensors on their parts of their brain, they measured the depth of their stage 3 and 4, which is really pinnacle because that's when your immune system is really doing the most work, mm-hmm. okay? And you know what they found? They found that those who exercised or moved quickest at 7 a.m., that they had 75% more or deeper stage 3 and 4.
So that really valuable sleep.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Much enhanced. And then they compared even those that were as late, like they kind of put it off to 11. They said the 11 a.m. mimicked the 1.
Hmm.
And then the 7 p.m. was horrible. So, yeah, to tell you this. Now, who's going to abide by this? I don't know. But, yeah, the research shows early morning you're going to have deeper sleep at night. And that'll be more reparative.
Let's go to the phones now at 1-800-933-5372. You can also send a question via email to think@kera.org. We have Lisa on the phone right now in Plano. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
This is a fortuitous topic for me. I have a just turned 13-year-old girl who is excessively good at being 13. she has always had issues kind of getting to sleep. Mm-hmm. Once asleep, she's good to go. She just snoozes right through it.
Mm-hmm.
But getting her to get to sleep is mm-hmm. just, you know, it's going to send me to the Betty Ford if we don't, get going. Now, we did go to our pediatrician, who mm-hmm. I respect very much, and we did even go to a counselor to see if, okay, is there something going on there that, you know, she's not sharing with me, that she's not comfortable sharing with me, and I'm absolutely good with, go ahead, talk to who you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's help you. Mm-hmm. We do one thing right at night, which is all communication is done at 8:30. Anything electronic. It's
mm-hmm.
done.
Very good.
It's a line in the sand that we draw.
Hmm.
So we're trying to set up an environment. Now, I'm sure we're doing 500 other things wrong. I think that one thing we're doing correctly. Our pediatrician did suggest possibly a sleep study for her.
Hmm. Now, my first thought, Lisa, first of all, you're doing a great job. The fact that you have identified that, and what's your daughter's name?
Natalie.
The fact that you have identified that your 13-year-old daughter actually, once she's asleep, she sleeps fine, that tells me that her issue is that preparatory. And I don't know, Lisa, you may have joined us a little bit later in the program today, and that's all right, because I don't mind repeating. But the idea of sleep, you know, sometimes as parents, and I have 6 children, 2 sets of twins, they're all grown and gone and the door's locked and it's been changed and all. But in those years, as parents, we can kind of think of sleep as a task. Like, you know, go to sleep, go now, get in there and go to sleep, you know, kind of. And actually the real way to get to sleep is sleep overtakes us. So it's the relaxing, getting into the parasympathetic mode that actually allows sleep to come on. So I don't know if you heard what those are. That's just, you know, being able to relax, you know, to you know, just, you know, let your muscles just, you know, melt into the bed, your eyes closed, your thoughts start to wander, your breathing slows down. You know, these are the things that actually bring on sleep. So what happens if we're in work mode, then our sympathetic nervous system's in charge and our mind is ticking away 1,000 miles an hour. And that is just incredibly antagonistic to allowing sleep to take place. Does that make sense?
Does that make sense, Steve?
The fact that we all have some sort of ritual at night that gets us to sleep, whether it's sitting there petting the cat or reading a book or whatever it is that starts to get us to relax. And it is almost like the minute it comes out of the parent's mouth, it dissolves into space because it came from us.
Another unique quality that teenagers seem to have.
Yes. So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that when you make the suggestion, then that's exactly when all success stops.
Yes, exactly right.
Okay. So what are your thoughts with that? What have you tried?
A couple of things we've tried is, I've said, like my husband and I read quite a bit, so we go, okay, you know what, we get a book that we're not all that interested in, like, that doesn't keep us just reading, and just an easy book or something like that, and I'll read with her.
Okay.
We'll go chill it out, grab a cat, we happen to have four, by the way, just grab a cat, go upstairs, and the problem is that now she doesn't, she wants me there.
Uh-huh.
And I said, babe, this is your process.
We've got about 30 seconds before we need to take a quick break.
Well, I just want to give you one little thought in this. So, and this has to do with hidden messages. So I'm going to let you think through this on your own. But when our child is asking us to stay with them, and we believe they don't need it, but we stay and they accept it, then they're accepting the message that they actually need us. So I want you to understand that if you choose to stay, you're reinforcing her belief that she needs you.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Dr. T. Masden is a pediatric behavioral sleep medicine specialist at Enjoy Your Life Family Services. She's also author of the blog Hardwired for Life. She'll be taking part in tomorrow's Adolescent Symposium at the Garland Special Event Center. That event is sponsored by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. If you've got a question or would like to join the conversation, you can send email to think@kera.org, or you can call us at 1-800-933-5372. We will talk a bit more with Dr. T about adolescence and sleep in just a few minutes. Right now, I'm joined once again by Roger Gamal, and we're going to talk about great ways, hopefully, to keep you wide awake enough to support the station with your contributions.
None of those hidden messages.
No,
here.
None of that. Now, if you have the right podcast and it happens to be 2 a.m, then feel free to doze.
We're right up front with our request for a membership contribution.
Yes.
As is the BNSF Foundation. If you give $2, the BNS Foundation will give an additional $1. So make your call right now to 888-694-6931 or contribute online at kera.org. And you can be the newest member and the most recently matched member of KERA. Make a call.
It is always wonderful to realize that your money is going that much further. And, of course, this matching grant allows us to do that and allows you to make a significant contribution to the station online at kera.org and over the phone at 1-888-694-6931. The great thing about making a contribution to KERA, for one thing, it's tax deductible. For another, you know exactly where your money is going. You get to turn on the radio 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, or find us online all the time, and you hear the programming that you have helped to pay for.
And that's the overarching reason. It's that KERA is a nonprofit organization that has a business plan, of course, because we're a business, but we have a mission. And our mission is to connect with you and allow you to connect with great minds and great people in our region and across the country. Your call right now will support the mission of KERA. So make a call, 888-694-6931, or contribute online at kera.org.
If you believe there should be objective, not-for-profit sources of information, information in any vibrant community, if you believe in the value of civil discourse and in the exploration of ideas, sometimes for their own sake, then your contribution is well spent with KERA. You can do this online at kera.org, where you can check out thank you gifts, including copies of the book from last hour's guest, Jonathan Haidt, whose book is called The Righteous Mind. There are other gifts as well. You can also go over the phone at 1-888-694-6931 and make your contribution there.
And after the phone call, you can trundle on over, find a quiet, dark place, and take a little nap. Inspired to get more sleep these days. You give $2, the BNSF Foundation will give $1. Make a call right now. No better time, because your money will go that much farther at KERA.
And we can promise you that we spend it really carefully. Folks around here, we use both sides of the paper, and we really stretch even simple things like office supplies and the electricity. We're really careful about that because we recognize that you have given us your hard-earned money and that you want it to go toward the programming that you love. Your contribution makes this programming available not just to you, but to your entire community. You can make your contribution online at kera.org or at 1-888-694-6931.
Sometimes the hardest decision is to make the decision to give. You've already made the decision to listen. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock rolls around, you're always tuning in to Chris Boyd and Think and all the rest of the great programs that you hear on KERA. You've made the decision to listen. Now make the decision to support it with a gift. 888-694-6931. Contribute online at kera.org. Leave some comments in the comment area for Think, and we'll get back to you with those.
And it may be that you would like to make a substantial contribution, but you think, well, I can't do $360 right now or $480. Maybe you want to become a sustaining member and have a monthly contribution taken from your checking and debit account and dropped into the membership account. It's very easy to set this up these days, and your contribution will help the station plan for its current and future financial stability. Again, make your contribution now at 1-888-694-6931 or go to KERA.org. Thanks.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a graduate education flexible enough to allow you to explore what matters most to you. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is pediatric behavioral sleep medicine specialist, Dr. T. Masden. She is also author of the blog Hardwired for Life, and she'll be speaking tomorrow at the Adolescent Symposium sponsored by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. You can join us at 800-933-5372. So, T., on my way into work in the mornings, I drive past a high school, and I'll see kids sort of stumbling into class or stumbling into the building, and I have to say about 4 out of 10 of them is clutching a cup from Starbucks or McDonald's or some kind of caffeine product.
Excellent. Excellent observation. And really, to me, that really resounds as the preferred choice of remedy for the sleepiness that teens feel. I think probably number one, these monster drinks and
drinks.
Yeah, these super caffeinated beverages. The only problem is they actually stay in your blood system between 10 and 12 hours. Hmm. So the very thing that kids are using to try to overcome the sleepiness is actually starting a cycle of being able to make it harder and harder to fall asleep and to stay asleep well. The second thing, a lot of teens are using alcohol. And in moderate amounts, alcohol does a funny thing to our brain. Moderate amounts of alcohol actually trigger. Remember I told you about those awakening chemicals?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after about an hour and a half, those awakening chemicals come forth. And so here you are feeling real woozy and sleepy, and then all of a sudden you're wide awake. And so the very thing that you're using to try to induce sleep actually, again, works against you in moderate amounts.
And so the quality of that sleep, even if you fall asleep for a while, is going to be poor.
Well, of course, what research shows is in large amounts, the REM sleep, which, and actually it's the deep sleep prior to REM, is very much impaired. Hmm. So your REM is impaired. And of course, REM's biggest job is that transfer of memories. So you're going to have focusing problems. You're going to have concentrating problems, memory issues. So yeah, that doesn't help, does it?
Makes it hard to ace the SAT when it's taking place.
And then the third thing that teens will do is take long naps during school days. And the problem during school days, now I'm not saying anything about the weekends, but school days is now it's going to delay them to going to sleep at night because they had this big, you know, nap during the day.
Can like a 20-minute micro nap be okay?
I think a 20-minute micro nap is awesome. The only unfortunate thing for most kids, those micro episodes, research shows, happens during the day while they're sitting in class.
Huh. So they may be trying to stay awake, mm-hmm. and they just nod off.
Or 28% of them, it's actually happening while they're driving.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yes, it is.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Brian in Denton. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
My question was, has this, like with the ability of like teenagers and having trouble sleeping, has this been a recent, you know, through like technological like advancements with like, you know, computers and stuff like that? Or have teens always had a problem sleeping? Like,
Brian, your question's really good. You know, is it just because of technology, or is it something that's always been around? So the answer to that is yes to both. So the physiologic this huge jump in hormones, the gonadal as well as the growth hormones, does interfere with melatonin. And so, yes, physiologically, teens have an issue there. And that's gone on for who knows how long. How they dealt with it? Well, life was probably a little bit different, don't you imagine? So then Edison came around, and of course, not long after, technology. And so teens who now have this ability or wanting to stay awake, now they have a lot of distractions to choose from. So it's kind of a snowballed and a compound effect.
So we talked earlier about what kids are doing to try and wake themselves up when they haven't had enough sleep. Mm-hmm. There are young people who are trying sleep medications and things like melatonin. Mm-hmm. What does that do, and how does it affect the process?
Okay, so that is probably the best question that you could bring up, because melatonin right now is not FDA approved. It's a nutritional supplement. And because it's not FDA approved, there's no uniformity of its dosing or frequency across the shelves.
So you don't know what you're getting.
The problem really lies is the research is not matching up with what's on the shelves. So for those that are listening, get a pen and paper. And right now the research is showing you don't want to ever take more than 1 milligram of melatonin ever. And you want to take it 5 hours prior to your desired sleep time. So that doesn't match with anything on the shelves. If you take too much melatonin, you're going to put yourself in what's called advanced sleep phase, which means you're going to be off track with your circadian rhythm. So that's the research-based evidence right now. It's a clock-setting hormone. Most scientists and most practitioners recommend you only take it 3 or 4 nights in a row. Usually when you're just needing to reset your clock, maybe you've traveled time zones for whatever reason. And then for teens especially, they have found if they keep taking melatonin over long periods of time, it can interfere with those secondary sex characteristics.
Wow, so they won't grow and develop
right.
properly.
Right. So you don't want them to take it for long. But if for example, what we have, the most common problem for teenagers, it's called delayed sleep phase syndrome, which is a circadian disorder. And what it means is a child is wanting to wake up at 10 in the morning and go to sleep at 4 a.m. It just means their whole clock is shifted. It's delayed, right? So to fix that does require melatonin. And you would give it, if you want them in bed by 10, you'd give it at 5 p.m. You'd give no more than 1 milligram. And you would only do it 3 or 4 nights. And their clock, which is in their suprachiasmic nuclei, sitting in their pineal gland, it would reset, and that would be that.
So at what point, T, do we need to think about seeking professional help, maybe doing a sleep study, if teenagers seem to be having a really hard time with sleeping and waking?
That's an excellent question, Chris, because probably this is a tough thing. Kids that aren't getting sleep, some of the major signs you'll see are depression. You might see just this lack of focus and concentration, poor grades. You know, that could be all sorts of things, mm-hmm. right? So I recommend if you have a teen that has any kind of issue with sleep, get them to someone who is a sleep medicine specialist, preferably a pediatric, and make sure that's ruled out first. Needing to get a PSG, which is your sleep study, mm-hmm. that really is determined by the specialists themselves. Whether, like our earlier caller, that didn't sound, because the child did go to sleep, mm-hmm. That didn't sound like a sleep disorder. It sounded more like an anxiety issue prior, like rumination or something like that.
Yeah. So what happens in those visits if someone comes to you with a teenager who's having trouble sleeping? What kinds of questions do you ask? What sort of history do you want?
In what regard? What do you mean?
Well, how do you make an evaluation about what the problem might be and what you might recommend to a patient?
So what I would start out with is I would just kind of want to know what their normal routine is. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you, and then I'd want to know, when you wake up, do you feel refreshed and awake? And if the answer to that is yes, across the board, all sleep specialists believe if it ain't broken, why fix it?
Right.
So if someone's waking refreshed, nothing else matters. But if they say, I cannot get going, I'm exhausted, I'm dragging out of bed, then we know there is a sleep problem. Mm-hmm. And from that point, it just depends. It depends on how they answer me, Chris. If they tell me they're waking through the night, if they tell me they're not going to sleep, but once they go to sleep, they sleep fine. If they tell me they wake early, all of those things indicate different issues.
So I know we're not going to have time because we have to end this hour, but I know that you are speaking tomorrow at the symposium.
Yes, and I'm going to provide specific, really easy to implement strategies. So I encourage you, if you can, try to make it to the Garland Special Events Center tomorrow, where I'm going to speak on teens and sleep and give some really great tips. And if you can't make it tomorrow, I'm going to give all these tips. I'm going to post it on my blog, Hardwired for Life, and it's the number 4, for life. And I'll post all those tips on Friday for those of you who can't make it.
Terrific. Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
Dr. T. Masden is a pediatric behavioral sleep medicine specialist at Enjoy Your Life Family Services. As she mentioned, she is also author of the blog Hardwired for Life, and she'll be speaking in tomorrow's Adolescent Symposium, sponsored by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. We want to thank all of you who have been listening this hour, all of you who have called or written in with questions. We also especially want to thank those of you who have made the effort to make a contribution for this fundraising campaign that we have going this spring. You can do your part now at kera.org or at 1-888-694-6931. Roger Gamal is back in studio. Hello, Roger.
I am back in the studio to report that we're over halfway there. We're over halfway to the top of this BNSF Foundation. You give $2, the BNS Foundation will contribute an additional $1. Make any multiple of that you want.
That's right. You can do the math.
Make a $1,000 gift. BNSF Foundation will give $500. Any multiple you want. All you have to do is call 888-694-6931 with your support today. Chris Boyd, your program is an open invitation. It's every day you make an open invitation to consider a new idea, to have a new conversation, to understand new concept, to try to wrap your mind around something. And you have an open invitation to call, to ask your questions. Today, we've got an open invitation for you to support this nonprofit, non-commercial radio station with your contribution at any amount. All you have to do is call.
1-888-694-6931 is the number. You can also do this online at kera.org. There is no more important communication that you would make with this station than to let us know that you want this program to continue, that you value public radio, that you specifically value KERA 90.1. So far this hour, we have raised $1,390. I should say you have raised $1,390 because your support makes it possible. Many of you may be signing up for sustaining memberships. These are these automatic draws from your checking account. But remember that you are also welcome to pay with a credit card or a debit card. You can still send in an old-fashioned check if that's how you like to do things. Just let us know either online at kera.org or over the phone at 1-888-694-6931 how much you want to give and how you want to pay.
The sustaining memberships are so easy. It's the way you pay for your health insurance. It's the way you pay for your health club. And it's the way you pay for a lot of things these days, your newspaper. Sign up. You listen. You sign up to listen on an ongoing basis. You don't say, I'm just going to listen for a year. I'm going to listen forever. So why not make a contribution for as long as you listen? And when you tell us to stop, we'll stop. 888-694-6931. Ask to do that sustaining membership.
You know, Roger, I'm so glad you made that point because it's the way you pay for anything you don't want to run out of, anything you don't want to be without, anything you don't want one Absolutely. Day to pass without having. And we know how many of you feel that way about KERA in general, about all the programming we have here, all the national programming, all the award-winning stories from our really amazing team of local journalists, and perhaps even this show. Maybe you don't want a weekday, a Monday through Thursday, to go by without listening to Think. That certainly makes a great case for becoming a sustaining member.
The number to call is really easy, 888-694-6931. Even easier is to go online and click and join. A couple of keystrokes, push that big red button that says contribute now, and you'll be contributing in just a moment and doing your part. And you can sit back and enjoy this this wonderfully and aptly named program for as long as you care to.
We have listened to you who have told us for years and years that you would like the shortest fundraising campaigns possible. We finally woke up and said, great. But you have to help us out. You know, it's kind of a deal where we say, yes, we will fundraise for fewer days in a row if you will respond faster than perhaps you have in the past. So now on this first day of our spring campaign, we're asking you right now to pick up the phone, to call 1-888-694-6931 or to go online to kera.org. Don't put it off. Make your contribution today and we will be finished with raising funds thanks to your contribution of support.
We're on track. We've raised $1,390 so far in this hour, and we'll be getting to our goal even faster because of the BNSF Foundation. Because when you give $2, the BNSF Foundation will give $1 and multiply that to any deal. So if you'd like to make a $120 contribution and get that Susan Stamm bag complete with the printed recipe card of her famous cranberry relish, you can do that, and the BNSF Foundation will throw in another.
Wait, it actually does come with the recipe
you
card?
You betcha. It's
I had
right
no
in
idea.
There. It's stuffed in there.
you know, it's really almost like this this challenge from the BNSF Foundation is a little bit like a Groupon. You know, you pay this much, and this much value is put into the station that you love the most. All this programming is really a gift to yourself and to your family and to your community. You get to benefit from the dollars that you invest in this station, and you get to decide how much your budget will allow. For some of you, that's a pretty modest contribution. We know there are lots of you out there who may have been looking for something to invest your money in that makes the community a better place, makes the world a better place, encourages civil discourse. We would say that KERA is a wonderful place to start your charitable giving. 1-888-694-6931 is the number. You can also do this online at kera.org.
We're three quarters of the way there. $1,550 so far. We have another $450. Make a contribution and the BNSF Foundation will kick in a little bit more. The best reason to contribute is this. There is no other place on the dial that does what public radio does. I mean, there are a lot of great radio stations out there, and we all listen to a lot of them. But when you want good, thoughtful, great journalism, quality radio programming, conversations with intelligent and inquiring people, you tune to KERA.
We were really proud a few weeks ago that we were able to serve this community with extensive coverage of the very severe weather that we had. We heard from a great number of you, not only on the day we provided the coverage, but in the days and weeks that have followed. People who said, thanks, the only source of information I had was KERA. I was in my car, I was away from a television, or I was online in the office, and KERA was what told me what was going on and what I needed to do to be safe, what the situation was with local schools. We are delighted to be able to serve you this way. It is our privilege, and it is entirely possible because of contributions from people just like you. To 1-888-694-6931 and online at kera.org.